Greetings, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank our Lord for the mercies He has for each day. It is a mercy that is touching us, and we are approaching it by the leading of the Spirit. Everywhere else we look, onto our left, onto our right, we are only seeing corruption. We are seeing coldness. And we see the love of the world has gotten so cold that the weather outside, the spiritual weather, is freezing. And there's only one way to get warm. It's to approach the fire of the Word of God. That fire is our warmth. It's our comfort. Because there is the presence of God. We can hear the voice of God speaking through the fire. And once we hear that voice, we hear the words of Spirit and of life. We get comforted. We get so aroused even. We are awakened to His love for us because His words are love, everlasting love, drawing us nigh unto Him. Truly, there is a strange fire in this world. There are strange voices speaking, many voices. But there is only one true light, one fire that is able to attract the sons and daughters of God. And we cannot hear a stranger's voice. For the Lord said, "My sheep will hear my voice and not a stranger." And this is our election, our gift that we have been given, to have the ears to hear the peace that God has given us. For we were there in His thoughts, in the bosom of the Word, in the mind of Christ, and His thoughts for us were always thoughts of peace. And when the Eternal Spirit counseled within Himself before the foundation of the world, we were in that great council. And we were there as He has given us a wonderful way of escape. He knew all things. He foreknew that we needed a way of escape. And He had provided us always a way of escape out of every trial, out of every temptation, out of every struggle, out of every weight. He was the one who gave us the escape. And that was the escape plan which He ordained in His counsel before the foundation of the world. He had already the blueprints of that escape plan. And now He is revealing to us this escape. And that escape is none other than Christ, His Word, which was made manifest unto us. Our only escape, our only hope is in Christ. Nothing else can give us any hope. But our treasure is in Christ. And as the wisdom tells us in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, it says, "There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise." Amen. The wise virgins have taken that extra oil in their dwelling place. And this is the oil that is giving us the light to continue walking in the light, and to see the path of where we are going. And this is the treasure that is to be desired. And in the counsel of the heart of God, when He counseled within Himself, He has told us in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, that a man's steps are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Truly, the Lord has ordained steps for us to walk in. And this was in His great purpose when He was counseling within Himself. He purposed that we have a way to walk in. And we will never understand that way with our own minds. We are in need of His Spirit, of His mind, to understand of how the Spirit will lead us. Because we know that wisdom also tells us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So my brothers and sisters, let it be known that our hearts are devising our own way and our own will. But the Lord will always direct our steps to His will and to His way. The only godly way is in the mind of Christ. But whenever we are hearkening onto our own ways, we are setting up and digging a trap for us and digging up our own pit, our own grave to dwell in. As Proverbs chapter 16 verse 27 tells us, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. So we can see that everything we do in this flesh is ungodly. And it is this flesh that is digging up the pit for us to be trapped in. But whenever we are digging up evil, what happens? We begin to long for death. We begin to call out for death. As it says in Job chapter 3, verse 21, when evil came upon Job, look at what Job was calling out for. He said, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures. So here Job was longing for death. He said, oh, that I would have died when I came out of my mother's womb. Because the evil came to him, he started digging up death and longing for it, more than digging up the hidden treasures that were in the mind of God. And this is what happens to us. Whenever evil comes our way, we start to dig up our grave and we long for death. The Lord's grace and His right hand will then lift us up out of the pit that we have been hidden in and will bring us up to a higher place, will take us out of the pit of death and restore unto us all that the worms have eaten. God will always restore everything that evil is trying to take away from us. And Jesus said, evil is there waiting for us every day. Every day has its own evil. So we have to be mindful and careful to not hearken onto that voice, the strange voice that is leading us to the path of destruction. And even if we make our bed in hell, the Lord said, He will be there with us to lead us out. Because we were of His seed, we were seeds of that chosen seed, which is the Word of God. Therefore, we have been chosen by God. We did not choose Him. He chose us. The Lord said, it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God who showeth mercy. It is God who has mercy on His seeds, on His sons. He is a loving Father unto us, and He will always receive us back. Just as the prodigal son went his own way and devised his own plan and did all his heart desired to do, he came to the point where he was found in the pit of the swines. But the Lord did not leave him with the swine. He gave him the memory of who he truly was. And he gave him the ability to stand up from that pit and to return back to his father. And there his father was waiting for him with open arms. When he ran back to his father ran to him. That's why James tells us, when we draw nigh to God, God draweth nigh to us. God will always meet us halfway with open arms. He will receive us back. And many times we leave our first love. But the Lord is reminding us through His Spirit. He's giving us back the memory of love, because only He has that memory. We are in a body of weakness, where we are always losing that memory, because this body is amnesia. And even when we entered into this world in this body of corruption, we have lost that memory of love. But the Lord is always restoring that memory. He has sent His Spirit to remind us of love, to remind us of our first love. And our first love goes back to the beginning of where we were and the side of Christ. We were there in Him as the woman was in Adam. And we thank God for this love. And the Lord has always a plan for us, a way of escape, to escape from every pit, to escape from every trial, from every weight that is coming upon us. He has given us and provided us the way of escape. And that way is Christ. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18 tells us that every purpose is established by counsel. And we know that all things are being performed according to the counsel of God's own will. This is what Paul is emphasizing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Amen. And because we were in that great counsel, we were in the mind of Christ, He has ordained it that all things will work together for our good to those who love Him. But we know we love Him because He first loved us. He chose us. And this choosing is so precious to us. It's a treasure to us. How can we not choose Him? How can we not love Him? When He makes known His love to us, we cannot escape that love. That love is deeper than any other calling. When He calls out to us, we hear His voice. We are able to hear His voice because we are of Him. We are His sheep. We are not of the wicked one. We are not of the seed of iniquity. We are not of a strange woman, but we are of the free woman, the holy city, the mother of us all. We are of the true wisdom, the heavenly wisdom that is calling out unto us. That is the wisdom of Christ. That is the womb that we were birthed from. We were born again in heavenly places. We came out of Christ, out of that original word, because the time came for the seed to be sown and bring forth much fruit. And it was Christ Jesus who came. He died for us. And upon His death, the loving fruits of the Spirit came out. A new creature was born at the cross. Not only did blood and water come out of His side, but the church, the bride, that came out from the living hope. We have a lively hope. We are seated in heavenly places. Our word bodies, our spiritual bodies, our mansions were being prepared in the heavens. And if we had the eyes of the dove, we can see beyond the death of Christ. We could see beyond the curse on the tree. We see the blessings, the fruits of His labor. We see all that was planted because we were there, planted with the Word, and the fruits have been manifested and brought forth through that planting. So we thank God for the greatest planting that He has done. And this is the word that has been preached unto us. We have received that engrafted word that is able to save our souls. Amen. And so we can see that there are many counsels working together against us. There is another counsel at work, and that counsel came from the mystery of iniquity. That counsel has been at work since the seed of iniquity was found in Lucifer. And we know that the Lord said, "The counsel of the ungodly shall be brought to nothing." We also know that God gave man His own free will to counsel within Himself. For God created man in His own image, and man has been given that free will and that counsel to choose. And we can see the sons of God choosing unto themselves their own wives. But it was not in the perfect will of God for the sons of God to marry the daughters of men. And we know that the sons of God are none other than the seed of Adam, who came forth from Adam. As we read in the book of Luke and the lineage of Christ Jesus, it goes back to Adam, and it calls Adam the son of God. So all that Adam brought forth from his seed was called the sons of God. But there was another seed sown in the same field, in the same womb. There was a stranger's seed that was sown. It was the seed of the enemy that he planted. The seed of the wicked one. That's why John had that revelation that Cain was of the wicked one and not of the Lord. John corrected the words of Eve. When Eve wiped her own mouth, as we read in Proverbs that an adulterous woman will wipe her mouth and said she has done nothing. How was Eve wiping her mouth? She wiped her mouth when she gave birth to Cain, who was of the wicked one. She committed adultery and she was deceived by the serpent who took her virginity. That's why Paul says, I will not have you to be deceived as the woman was deceived in the garden by the serpent. He wanted us to be virgins to Christ. Because the woman was supposed to be a virgin to Adam, but she had lost that virginity. And here we can see the woman whose name was changed to Eve, for she became the mother of all living. But what did she do when she gave birth to Cain? She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. But he was not from the Lord. He was of the wicked one. And this is the revelation that John had. And so we can see that there are always two minds from the very beginning. The mind of iniquity and the mind of Christ, which is righteousness. The light and the darkness. And so we can see both seeds at work. There was always two, the seed of iniquity and the seed of righteousness. And God said, I hate iniquity and love righteousness. I hated Esau and loved Jacob. Before they were even born, he knew their works. He foreknew all things because he knew that the seed of iniquity will manifest evil. And that is the counsel of the Lord, which standeth forever. As Psalms chapter 33, verse 11 says, it is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand forever. It is the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Amen. To all generations. He has given the thoughts of his heart. And the thought of his heart, the thought of righteousness, was the word of God, which was manifested in flesh, which was our Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from the pit of hell. And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says, hear counsel, hearken unto counsel, and receive instructions, that you may be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, it is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Amen. No matter what devices is in our hearts, it is always the counsel of the Lord which will stand and remain. So let us put on the mind of Christ, the counsel of Christ, and walk after His will, and to perform His thoughts. But Satan is after us. Satan wants to destroy us. And he is trying to break our vessel, to not hearken unto the voice of love, to not be able to approach the fire that is calling out to us. The strange fire is trying to take us away from the true fire. And as David said in the book of Psalms, chapter 31, he said, I am a forgotten man, as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Amen. Look what happened to David. He heard the fire, the strange fire of many, and fear was on every side. He became as a broken vessel, and he knew that there was a council together against him to take away his life. They took counsel together to go against David. And this is what they did also to Jesus, who was called the Son of David. It was prophesied first in Psalms chapter 2, verse 2, that the kings of the earth set themselves together and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. This prophecy came to pass as we read it in Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. It said, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel together against Jesus to put him to death. But the counsel of all these men was actually fulfilling the scripture. No matter what evil was planning against the Son of God, no matter what evil is planning against all the sons and daughters of God, it will always turn into a blessing for us. Just as it happened with Jesus. They put him to death, but look at the blessing that was turned. Look at the power and glory that came out of that. Because all things are working together for our good. We see it even in the case of Balaam in the days of Moses. When Balaam wanted to curse the children of Israel, he ended up blessing them. And we also read that in Numbers chapter 31 verse 16 it says, behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord. Wow, the counsel of Balaam caused the children of Israel to commit trespass against the Lord. But I will ask you today, which son of God had not trespassed against the Lord? Every man fell short of the glory of God and trespassed against the Lord. But there was only one. Only one could not commit trespass against him, but was actually walking according to his will, to the will of his Father. And because he walked in the will of the Father, he was able to forgive us of all our trespasses. This is what Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13. He says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen. There was a handwriting against us. And who was the author of that handwriting? It was the author of confusion and of death. But all this handwriting against us had been taken away and nailed to the cross. And we received a new author, the author of life, the author and finisher of our faith. And we being confident of this very author, that he which began writing a good work in us will surely finish it until the end. Amen.